Los Dimitin Conference, we're continuing our discussions of part 10 of St. Gaspar Bertoni's Constitutions for Stigmatines, enabling us to try to see the ideal of union in our service of the Church despite a multiplicity of tasks. Let us open this reflection, as always, with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Pray for us, holy spouses, Mary and Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. St. Gaspar Bertoni, please pray for us all. Well, in continuing this reflection, remember that a vocation is a grace. Now, a grace can be weakened, it can be lost, can be destroyed, or it can grow. And there's that great line that much piqued the spirituality of St. Gaspar, Philippians 1:6. This great work that God has begun in you will be brought to completion in Christ's own time. So there is the law of progress that's built into this kind of thing. So number 188 speaks of the ideal of the Apostolic Church. Well, Father Aldama, the great Spanish Jesuit, who has written individual volumes on each of the parts of the congregation, and one separate one on the formula, another separate one on the constitutions of St. Ignatius in general, then the different parts. Chapter 7, for example, is entitled in English, The Missioning of the Jesuits, which is what we would understand in our part 9, the Apostolic Mission. At any rate, this mind of Jesus Christ is what to be in the society of Jesus means. As we read in Philippians, put on the mind of Christ Jesus. Imitate him. Try to bring him alive in your life, as Kierkegaard would tell us today. So what is the ideal of the Church? It's mens Christi, the mind of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God. Any one of these terms that we speak of, this esprit de corps, well, in this idea, this meant to be a spirit of the Trinity in Christology in the Stigmatine life. I believe that St. Gaspar translated this, as does Father Aldama, as modus. How do we do this? Quo modo. In what way do we do this? So of the elements of the Compendium Rudei, as we've seen, St. Ignatius had five tasks. First, the end of the purpose of the society. Secondly, how to get there, how to do it. Thirdly, the two vows, third and fourth, the two vows of obedience, the corporate obedience, and the apostolic obedience of the Pope. Then a group of miscellaneous things like what missionary poverty, no habit, and no gathering in choir. So how do we do this thing? That's quo modo, in what way? And we think that's what the second constitution at the Compendium Rudei Modus, and then he quotes that decree of the Holy Spirit of the Holy See of December 20th, 1817, 200 years ago these times, in which in four lines you have eight words for obedience, subjection, following direction, following the commands, and so on. So the ideal of the Apostolic Church, this would be translated immediately in the first generation of Christians as the early Church, constantly striving to live the model based on the behavior of the apostles around Christ. They had one heart and soul. Now, we've said many times where and when, because the entire New Testament was written trying to keep the little community alive and united. So Father Bertoni, in a general manner, summarizes the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2 and 4, which include those ceremonies. See, what is this new community? What is this new way? And the Acts of the Apostles said was gathering the teaching of the apostles, the celebration of the Eucharist, the prayer, caring for the poor, and much charity within. So these summaries of the Church, I'll read them here again. I'm sure we've seen them a few times. Acts 2:42 to 47, and Acts 4:32 to 35, and a third one maybe, Acts 5, 12 to 16, that does not appertain here. So here's Acts 2. This is the sublime ideal of the church, the goal. And the baptized were persevering in the doctrine of the apostles and in the communication of the breaking of the bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were accomplished, and they were all living together, and they had all things in common. Their possessions and goods they sold, divided them all according to everyone who had any need, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord increased them daily together, such as should be saved. Or again, in Acts 4, as the multitude of believers had but one heart and one soul, neither did anyone say that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but all things were common unto them. I remember as a young stigmatine, you could never put your name in a book. You always had to say, ad usum, for the use of. It was not yours. You didn't own it. And I even remember a time when they counted how many raises each one of us had. Some of us had a couple, either after Christmas, new presents or whatever. But anyway, those were the efforts to try to teach us the value of missionary poverty. If you need four or five trucks to move your stuff, you might not be a very mobile missionary to do the next thing, unless, and I make excuses for myself, that you spend your whole life in teaching theology that's beyond you. I need a lot of books to try to understand what I was teaching. So the apostles, and this was to give testimony with their lives of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and great grace was in them all, for neither was there anyone needy among them. Facetiously, this has been said that this sounds like communist China. There was a famous time in the life of St. Mother Teresa. I was giving a retreat in Washington, and she was present. And in one day, President Reagan called her and Cho Enlai, the Cardinal of Washington, stopped by in the midst of all of this. And she was invited by Cho Enlai of China to come to China. And she responded through whatever interpreters they had, we would love to do this. We take care of the poor. And he said, there's no poor in China. Well, anyway, we knew it was a bit of propaganda. The poor you will have with you always. Anyway, so St. Petroni Gasper takes this Constitution 188, 189 as a synthesis of all of this. The underlying portions are just a combination of those texts that can be readily seen. There is some hint of this in Suarez, but the words of introduction have not been found yet. The order of the combination of the various texts of Acts of the Apostles is taken verbatim from Suarez. The constitution that follows is only part of Psalm 132. Then number 190, the joys of common life. O quam bonum et jucundum est fratres habitare in unum. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. That's Psalm 132. And I got to say, in my early years, the late 1940s and so on, esprit de corps did build up. I remember it was a great thing when we had a holiday or some kind of a day free from school. We'll all gather in a football or baseball contest. Or sometimes we used to go through the beautiful New England countryside during like Columbus Day, October 12th, to see that it was always a pleasant time to walk around the lake, which was near the House of Studies where we were in Waltham. And these were always happy times. You'd climb the mountain, have a picnic up on top, and so on. We did the same in those years up in northern Italy, north of Trent, in the Stigmatine House of Molosco di Fondo. We had the Regole, which was about a mile straight uphill where we played baseball. And it was just a very happy time of communion together. Then, of course, a lot of changes have happened, and communion is still something that needs to be prayed for and sacrificed for those who believe in it. It was certainly the ideal of the early church, the goal of St. Ignatius of Loyola and also St. Gaspar Bertoni. The Jesuits interpret this in a nice way. Friends in the Lord, united for dispersion. Which is kind of a nice twist This is another Spanish Jesuit, Javier Osuna, Amigos en el Señor, Unidos para Dispersión, United for Dispersion, directed by a Prepositus General. This is the military language found more in St. Ignatius. St. Gaspar seems to stress more Father General and brothers gathered for mission, not just friends in the Lord. Anyway, that's the ideal. So the positive means for all of this, and this is a long section, 221 to 266, 45 separate numbers. So this entire section is taken from Suarez's chapter 8, from his book 8, and contains numbers, paragraph numbers 1 to 22. There are some 14 columns of this in his text, and probably 8 or 9 gauge. This is not easy reading. And he lists here the positive means by which fraternal charity is reconciled within the society, or conciliated, rendered more easy. These are the internal means that each confrere will be united to Jesus Christ. For this to happen, there is needed much prayer and the realization on the part of each member of the community of the wonderful gifts that others have. This will lead the study then to take up other means which do not consist in any prohibition against union, but much more in actions to be undertaken. So these means are both internal and external. So the interior inclination is called disposition of soul, and that's summed up in two or three constitutions. The inspiration for this whole section is based to some extent on the constitutions of St. Ignatius, for example, number 671. The chief bond to cement the union of the members among themselves and with their head or their superior on all sides is the love of God, the love of our Lord. For when the superior and the subjects really are in prayerful union with the divine and supreme goodness, they'll be much better united among themselves through being united to the supreme goodness. Another great help is this uniformity which we've seen, both interior, uniformity of doctrine, judgments and wills, and so on. So this is kind of and this problem with the Mass is more or less dated, although we have to be very careful in our own time that some liberties are not taken. A few years ago, the Vatican published an unbelievable list of abuses in celebrating Mass. And it ran for several pages, and each abuse was one line. It has become a little bit open, and some see this the genius of variety. However it be, I leave it to better minds to discuss. But the devil's great victory would be to divide us in the Eucharist, which is meant to unite us. So the constitution of St. Ignatius was then commented on by Suarez and copied by St. Gaspar. This all depends on some spiritual progress made by both subjects, and if that's a good term, it was St. Gaspar's in another time, the membership and the superiors. So there'll be noted here again the insistence on the spiritual increase that permeates so many of the founders' constitutions. So in number 222, it tells us, how do we do this? Well, first of all, through prayer. The bond of union greatly increases by prayer and meditation, as we read in Psalm 38:4. In my meditation, a fire will flame out. So the ideal of prayer and meditation leading to wisdom recurs often in St. Gaspar, for example, Constitutions 47, 110, and 127. The next constitution, 223, presents this remarkable thought. Suarez, quoting Ignatius, his Constitution 50, 250, from his early part and part 3, this is what he says. In everything they should try and desire to give the advantage to others, esteeming them all in their hearts as better than themselves, Philippians 2:3, and showing exteriorly in an unassuming and simple religious manner that respect and reverence befitting each one's state, in such a manner that by observing one another they grow in devotion, praising God, whom each one should endeavor to recognize in his neighbor, in his image. This was the great appeal of Suarez that he said came from Ignatius, that when you feel jealous or not included or whatever, maybe look around and look in the community and see the gifted men who've been called to follow in the society of Jesus and rejoice that they are with us. Pray for their success in the ministry. And I believe that's what he understood, meaning that's how others would get success as well. So Suarez had this beautiful thought, the Holy Spirit as an artist. We've already seen how St. Gaspar, in one of his metaphors, he seemed greatly moved by painting. And he said the role of a Sigmatine is to draw a portrait of Jesus Christ by following this ideal. Well, this is found in Suarez, and this is what he wrote. It seems to be his own comment. Nothing moves one toward that love of charity for another than for us to note those singular ornaments of virtue and grace of the Holy Spirit in him, that we contemplate him as an image of God depicted in the most excellent colors of grace, in a marvelous manner. Looking in this way at one another, charity will indeed increase among us. Anyway, it might be a sublime idealistic principle, but it does fit in with the regular charism of St. Gaspar, trying to draw a portrait within us by following these ideals. So these there are exterior realities that help, as we've seen so many times. For example, obedience, poverty, and so forth. Number 224, this union can be helped greatly by the bond of obedience. So this constitution is one of those rare direct citations from St. Ignatius. Number 224 is quoted directly from Jesuit Constitution 659. 225 offers us the means, is that of poverty and humility, contempt for temporal things. Among these should be honors and dignities, as well as riches and bodily comforts. The contempt for the former, no less than for the latter, goods flows from charity to God. For just as the poor in spirit and humble manifest honor to all, so they are received in the depths of the hearts of others. If somebody's always, it's me first, or the best for me, and continually flouts his degrees, or what he's done in his world, while we do want to share the good things that happen, but there's always modus in rebus. There's a manner of doing this in great prudence. 226 is a characteristic means for poverty. It's missionary poverty, not monastic. So whatever is held in common, hearts and minds and bodies, and we make use of all that is necessary for the sustenance of our way of life, for example, very simply and facetiously. If your mission is in Alaska, you may need different clothing than those who work in South Africa and such similar things, but also other things like books. Not everybody needs a library in his room, but some, I remember seeing Father Fabros, it was a matter of rooms, separate rooms. He knew where every book was. Was astounding. He knew exactly where to go. And you'd say to him, did you read all those? He'd say, well, some of them. Anyway, then the exterior realities, which in a special manner help us, among which stand out uniformity in lifestyle. If, for example, superiors have a totally different life than the men in the trenches, community is just not going to work. They may obey, but they cannot imitate. Do what I say, but not as I do. So this is one of the real means of charity. If there are cliques, little small groups that gather together and hush up when you approach or any outsider approach, this is deadly to charity. If anyone picks up the notion that there is favoritism in the community, we can always encourage each other and always thank God for the gifted men that may come to us. But once we start picking favorites, we are really going deadly against, and I say deadly because it'll kill community life. So Augustine notes here that all will unanimously and harmoniously live together. This is as though he was saying, in order that all would live together, they need to live together unanimity. And adds, honor God in the other, whose temples you have all become. So the common table, as I mentioned, this was always a bit of a bugaboo way back in my early years, as being young men and for the most part very immature. We would never eat without the presence of one of the faculty members in our refectory. The priests had their own refectory, which I understand and did then. But it was a little bit embarrassing, and I think for some of the superiors who came in to get special meals. For example, we would be eating hot dogs and beans, and they might get a nice piece of steak and some vegetables and potatoes. It just was so different. Anyway, thanks be to God, that age died early in Vatican II. It was one of the great gifts of Vatican II. So the common table, we're all in this thing together. We all have the same goals and so on, to serve God and so forth. So St. John Chrysostom sublimely commends that community of the ancient monks when he states, they did have everything in common, table, dwelling, and clothing. And how wonderful it was indeed that there was this one and the same spirit in them all. This is the ideal, of course. This is what we'd like to strive for. So it needs to be pointed out here, too, that Father Bertone eliminates nine lines, where the Jesuit tradition here made more exceptions for the Father General. St. Gaspar didn't. The General was one of the boys, one of the men. So it says in the Jesuit rules, the Father General is the only exception to this rule. Because of the heavy burden of his duties and other causes, this exception was conceded by the Third General Congregation, Chapter 5. Then in the Seventh General Congregation, 7, there was commended the practice developing among the generals that they not partake of this private table as they were abstaining from it. Themselves, the men themselves felt very strange having a private table. I do remember in Rome there was a special place up in the choir loft for the Father General, and maybe I could understand that a little. Sometimes he was pressed with duties or leaving on a train and so on. And if you go down into the chapel so often, the Beate, the blessings, would come and ask for a blessing or whatever, and the man would not have had the time unless he got up earlier. Anyway, it did happen, but I don't think it lasted very long. So there's no formal individual practice of penance, it seems to me, in the Stigmatine rule, other than study. However, there was great insistence on the manner of food and the common table. While it's legitimate to celebrate special times and places, we're like the seagull and Jonathan Livingston's seagull. Most eagles live to eat, but this seagull ate so he could fly further in the night or in the storm. So in that sense, unless this is a stretched metaphor, it seems behind the idea of the desert eagle, Exodus 19 and Deuteronomy 32. The eagle teaches the little one how to fly so it won't spend the rest of his life down in the nest eating worms. And the old rule seems to have been the mother eagle, or the father, I don't know which, would come over the nest and flap its wings so much so that it would literally suck out one of the eaglets, unless this is all grandeur. But it was in the commentary that on this whole issue of the desert eagle by a beautiful study on Moses by Buber. Yes, this study of Moses by Buber. He has a beautiful chapter 7 on the song of the eagle in which he develops these texts very beautifully. So on the manner of food and the common table, this is all taken from Suarez 4 in what way is the food at table called common? On pages 956 of his work, much emphasized by St. Gaspar, numbers 91, 94, 97, and 98. The table is sent to be common not only as a place and time where people gather, but in the use of food. There must be union in one. There must be one diet, one clothing, one table for all, But isn't there supposed to be one soul among us all? Anyway, it's no longer a struggle as far as I can see. Number 231, every singularity in the common table is to be avoided, because this would greatly offend the spirits of the weak and consequently upset charity. Well, that was one of those weak. I could never figure out how people in authority, when I went as far as provincial and general counselor, provincial counselor, novice, all these big jobs, but I could never quite figure out. I didn't feel any different than anybody else. I was sometimes embarrassed when I ran into a novice holier than I was. Anyway, that's human nature. So the great line of Acts 34, distribution was made to everyone according as he had need. It's a very interesting understanding of St. Ignatius. He says, there may be those among you who eat more. If that be so, with all the rules of propriety and so on, and satiety, I guess, with all those rules, that was honored. And that always pleased me no end, because God blessed me with a greater appetite than brain. At any rate, both served me well in these years. So, Benedict legislates here that we do not say that there be acceptance of persons in this, which God forbid, but a special consideration is to be had for each infirmities of each one. So those who need less, thank God, and do not be saddened. Wherever those who need more, let him accept his infirmity with humility, and not be arrogant over the consideration shown to him. And thus all the members will be in peace. This is ancient times, of course, but the idea is a common touch, it seems to me. And when these positive means, one of them is the care of the sick and the infirm. In the Benedictine order, because of their great sense of fraternity and hospitality, the sick person was seen to be Christ himself. To serve the sick or to obey your abbot as though it were Christ itself. Anyway, Father Suarez here adds seven lines from the seventh chapter of St. Augustine's rule, which Father Bertone does not use. Suarez then introduces in his number 5 concerning the second principal means for mutual charity is the care of the sick. This ancient monastic ideal, for it, Suarez relies heavily on Saints Basil, Augustine, Jerome, as well as Pachomius. The Jesuit theologian notes that all religious communities are meant to be outstanding in this, and it is something that all founders commend very much to their community. The subsequent constitution picks up with the quote of the great Cappadocian Saint Basil in his chapter 19 of Monastic Constitutions. He treats of the cenobitic life and says, whoever suffers from bodily infirmity should be able to find many willing souls who will share his weakness. And he who is truly sick and afflicted in spirit finds many at hand by whom he will be cared for. In this sense, he will not desire the care of his mother. Very interesting rule for us men. Well, we'll continue this in our next reflection, beginning with Constitution 235, with the same saint in his Moral Rules 41, Chapter 2, very much commends gentleness and kindness toward the sick. I bless you and thank you for listening. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Pray for us, holy spouses, Mary and Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. St. Gasparitone, please pray for us all.